God is good.
All
and all the time, God is good. Good to have Kip and Carol and Adam and Emily and Lydia. Even good to have Bo back with us. They tried to leave him down there. I think he would have stayed. Amen. But glad they are safely home with us. Amen. Michelle and them did a great job last week. But like I said, just good to have Kip and them back home. Have you found Mark chapter 6? Reading three verses of scripture beginning at verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. Let's pray. Father, in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We glorify your holy and precious name. Lord, I thank you for what I feel that you desire to do in hearts and lives and minds, in circumstances and situations in this house today. And so, Lord, we just yield ourselves completely, completely over to you. Lord, I need your anointing in a desperate way this morning. I'm not able to in myself to do anything without your help. But Lord, I pray that we would all allow you to minister to our hearts and our minds as you desire to the each and every area. Without reservations, Lord, that we would allow you to have your will and your way completely in our hearts and our lives and our circumstances and situations. That we would open ourselves completely to you. Lord, and we just thank you for what you desire to do and what I feel and I sense that you're going to do. And we give you the praise and the glory. And all God's people said, amen. I want to talk to us about something this morning that we have all dealt with. Touch your neighbor and say, we've all dealt with it. And the older we get, the more we'll deal with it. But it can happen in people. Younger and younger are facing it. Children face it. Teenagers face it. The middle age face it. Our older senior citizens face it. It's a thing called stress. Can you say that word with me? Stress. You can't say stress with a smile on your face. Hello. Stress. The word stress is a physical, chemical, or emotional factor that causes bodily or mental tension and may be a factor in disease causation. Causation is a word. Now, I got this out of the dictionary. Amen. A physical, emotional, chemical factor that causes bodily or mental tension and may be a factor in disease causation. In the society you and I live in today, with life at such a fast pace, there are so many things vying for our time and our energy, it's not hard to see at all why so many people get stressed out and stay stressed out. Just the everyday, day in and day out things we face every day can be very stressful. Compound that with something that happens or occurs suddenly in our lives, whether it be good or bad, what we call a very high stress level that can result. Which, if we don't take care of that stress level, if we let it persist in our hearts and our life, it can have a very, very negative effect in every area of our life. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. It can throw your life at home, your life at work, young people, your lives at school, in your extended family, even at church, all of the above. Stress can throw your life completely out of balance. Stress is something we all deal with, but many times at different levels. But when we allow a high level of stress to persist, then we can find ourselves in trouble. In case you're wondering if I'm just thinking about this on my own, the Mayo Clinic came out with a whole paper about this. Stress management. Stress symptoms may, and this is from the Mayo Clinic staff. Not Nan Mayo, but the real Mayo Clinic. She is the real. Now, if you ever need to relieve stress or something going on with your body or something going on in your muscles or your joints, Dr. Nan can help you out. She's got the strongest hands of any woman I've ever seen. But she does a good job. From the Mayo Clinic, stress symptoms may be affecting your health even though you might not realize it. You may think illness is to blame for that nagging headache, your frequent insomnia, or your decreased productivity at work. But stress may actually be the culprit. Indeed, stress symptoms can affect your body, your thoughts and feelings, and your behavior. Being able to recognize the common stress symptoms can give you a jump on managing them. Stress that's left unchecked can contribute to many health problems, such as high blood pressure, heart disease, obesity, eating disorders, and diabetes. Common effects of stress on your body: headache, muscle tension or pain, chest pain, fatigue. It can have an adverse effect on your intimacy level between husband and wife, upset stomach, sleep problems. Common effects of stress on your mood. Common effects of stress on your mood: anxiety, restlessness, lack of motivation or focus, feeling overwhelmed, irritability or anger, sadness or depression. Common effects of stress on your behavior: overeating or undereating, angry outburst, drug or alcohol abuse, tobacco use, social withdrawal, exercising less often, less energy. All those came, and there it goes on to say a lot more about that. All those came from the Mayo Clinic. There's another definition for stress. It says one of bodily or mental tension resulting from factors that tend to alter an existent equilibrium. More simply stated, stress can throw your life completely out of balance. Stress can be caused by poor choices on our part. Stress can be caused by things that come upon our lives that are completely out beyond our control. Stress can be caused by misuse of time. Stress can be caused by financial situations. Stress can be caused by family situations. Y'all with me this morning? Stress can be caused by job situations. Stress can be caused by school and school situations. Guess what's about to start back? Stress can be caused by sickness of a loved one or friend that's close to you. Stress can be caused by accidents or natural disasters. Stress can be caused by a death in the family. Stress can be caused by extra activities we get involved in. Stress can be caused by news reports, watching too much news. I'm going to tell you, stress can be caused by the things we listen to, the things we read, and the things we watch. We can go on and on and on about the causes, things that can cause our stress. And unchecked stress can lead to irritability, sleeplessness, or sleeping too much. Unchecked stress can lead to fear, worry, doubt, uncertainty. Unchecked stress can lead to stomach problems, high blood pressure, heart trouble, fatigue, overdependence on alcohol or drugs. Unchecked stress can lead to feelings of failure or hopelessness, anxiety, or even someone just wanting to give up completely. Now, all these situations that I just mentioned about unchecked stress, the Center for Disease and Control say all these things are on the rise in a tremendous way in our society today. And it's not just affecting those that are on the outside of the church. Sad to say, it's affecting on those that are on the inside of the church as well. Can you say amen? What we need to realize is this. Jesus knew and knows how stressful the world you and I live in is. Jesus knows how stressful that it was going to be. Can you say amen? In fact, John 16, verse 33 says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Jesus says, "In me you may have peace, but in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That word tribulation means pressure, burden, distressed, stress. He said, in this world, we're going to face difficult situations. We're going to face hardships. We're going to face heartaches. We're going to face have pressure coming against us. We're going to face distressful situations and circumstances. We are going to come under a great deal of stress. But he also said, in him, we can have what? Peace. Can you say amen? And therefore, he says, we can be of good cheer as we're relying on him because he's overcome the world. And as he's overcome the world, you and I can overcome the world. Can you say amen? Amen. With its pressures and everything. He experienced stress to the utmost degree. You say, well, I don't believe Jesus ever got stressed out. I beg to differ. He experienced stress to the utmost degree. In fact, it talked about in the night when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22, verse 44 says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." He was in agony. It was at that time, and he said, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me." He knew what was coming upon him. He knew what was about to happen. He was about to experience sin for the first time, and not just a little sin, but the sin of all time was about to be placed on his shoulders. He was about to experience first time that he had ever in his life here on earth and beyond. It was about to be the first time he ever experienced separation from his Father. He was going to have to experience evil to the utmost measure. Can you say? Amen. And the Bible says his blood became like sweat drops of blood. His stress became like great drops of blood coming off of his body. Now, Christian scientists who have studied that, and when people say, "Well, he couldn't sweat blood," they say when your body becomes under such an emotional distress that you can come to a point where your blood corpuscles and your blood cells will release minute drops of blood, and it will literally mix with the water in your system, and it will literally come out your pores if you come under that much tension, if you come under that much stress. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. He knows what stress is all about. Can you say amen? But because he knows, he knows how to help you and I through the situations and through the circumstances. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 tells us this, and I want you to get this today. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, tested as we are, yet without sin." Because he went through it, he wants us to be able to not only go through it, but he wants to set us free from it. Can you say amen? He experienced way more than we ever have. So he truly understands, but he also desires to help us in this time. How should we handle stress? How should we handle stress? Brother Doss, why are you talking about this on a Sunday morning? Because it's affecting our nation in such a tremendous way. Because it's affecting the people of God in such a tremendous way. Can I just go ahead and let it out of the bag? If we'll go ahead and let Jesus help us with it today, we'll have a better tomorrow. That's Lord, come on back, Kim. We'll just... How do we handle stress? How do we handle stress? Let's look in the scripture. Number one, you've got to acknowledge it, that you are stressed out. But then you've got to bring it to the Lord. Verse 30 says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both that they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while.'" They had been busy going about and doing and ministering to others, but still more people were gathering around. Now they were excited. Hallelujah. They have been seeing God move in tremendous ways. They have been teaching. They've been touching lives. They came to Jesus and told him what they had said and what they had done and what they were going through. But here's the solution. They took time to come to who? They took time to come to Jesus. Let me ask you something. Is what they were doing, was it bad? No, it was good. In other words, it was completely God. Because they were going and telling others about how good the Lord is and what Jesus had come to do, that there's a better way. They were touching others. They were ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were seeing the devils cast out. They were seeing sick bodies healed. They were doing all these things. So they were doing good things. So many times we have a misnomer about stress, that stress only comes when we're doing bad. No, stress can come on you when you're doing very good. Can you say amen? But sometimes we don't know how to handle it in the right way. Because the first thing Jesus tells them, guys, that's great. Now come apart by yourself. I want you to rest a while. Guys, you need to recoup. You need to re-energize. You need to... Lord, don't you know there's people that need touching? There's people that need healing? There's people that need deliverance? Yes. But if you're at a point where you're so tired and weary and stressed out, you ain't going to be any good to anybody. Until you learn to come aside and rest for a while. First thing, again, we've got to acknowledge, you know, that's where I'm at. I've got to bring that to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your circumstance, always take time to bring it to Jesus. Acknowledge unto him where you're at and what you've gone through or what you're going through, and seek his help. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. So many times we just like to read verse 7, but if we don't do verse 6, verse 7 will never happen. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care. So how much? All your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, until we acknowledge that, man, you know what? I'm stressed out. I've done my best to handle this, and I'm just not doing very well. And I need God's help. We've got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We are so self-sufficient in our country. We are so full of pride that we try to handle everything on our own until it gets in such a slab-dab mess that, guess what? Then we try to handle it in different ways, and it doesn't work until we bring it to the Lord. Oh, I appreciate the Mayo Clinic, and I appreciate their knowledge, and I appreciate their understanding, and I appreciate their medical advances, but they left the most important element out, is bring it to the Lord. Because see, we're not only body, we're not only mind, but we are spirit as well. We were created by the Creator, and unless you deal with the spiritual side, you will never correct the mind or the body side. But if you will deal with the spirit side, if the only way you can deal with the spirit side is bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you bring it to him, he'll take care of the body and the mind side. Can you say amen? Casting all, once we humble ourselves, Lord, I need you to help me. Casting all your care, that word care means your anxiety. Listen, let's see what this definition sounds like. And this is from the original Greek. Care is anxiety, a painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind, usually over an impending or anticipating problem or solution. That kind of sounds like stress to me. How about you? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What does Jesus tell us to do? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, say your request, be made known to God, and the peace of God. Wow. I like that. And the peace of God, what surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That phrase anxious right there means anxious, worried, troubled with cares, distressed. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That goes right along with 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And when we do it, when we truly, listen to me, when we truly lay it at his feet, when we truly give it completely over to Jesus, he's promised two things. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. His peace and his protection over your heart and over your mind. Where does stress usually deal with us at? In our mind and in our heart. Can you say amen? Did he say your situation or circumstance would immediately change? No. But he said, if you will bring it to him, his peace and his protection would be there with you through the circumstance and the situation. Can I tell you, no matter what we face, this is good today. If I've got his peace and if I've got his protection, there ain't nothing I can't handle through him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And myself, I can do nothing, but all through Christ. Hallelujah. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word labor means you're tired, you're weary. You know what? It's easy to get stressed out when you're tired and weary. When you're tired emotionally, when you're tired physically, when you're tired mentally, oh, it's easy to get stressed out. Hello. But Jesus said, that's when he invites us to come. Come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, I will give you rest. That word laden means to load up, to overburden. Come to him in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your situation. Keep in mind, we've got to humble ourselves before him. Look at Jesus' example himself. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. Before we read that, I want us to kind of see where Jesus is at. What has he gone through? He's fully God, yet he's fully man. He was rejected in his own hometown. This is all in the same chapter. He's rejected in his own hometown. He then sends the disciples out to go out and minister. But then he finds out that his cousin in the flesh, John the Baptist, and is also forerunner in the spirit, has been beheaded. He's got a love for John. Then his disciples come back and they're telling him everything that's going on. He said, guys, it's time to come apart and rest for a while. Then they literally have to get in a boat and go to a deserted place because people were still gathering around. But the people, they were persistent. They just kept on coming. And then Jesus feeds the 5,000. You say, well, Jesus is Jesus. He's Superman, is he? He's fully God, but he's fully man. He has to do something. Because he needs a time to get recharged. He needs a time to get re-energized. He needs some time to spend with his Father. Just like you and I must come to Jesus, he had to go to his Father. Can you say amen? Look with me in verse 45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Were there people in that multitude that needed healing? Were there people in that multitude that needed to hear what he had to say? Were there people in that multitude that still needed his touch, that still needed his teaching? Absolutely. What did his disciples still need him to lead and guide them? Absolutely. But Jesus set the example for us. Jesus, being fully God yet fully man, said, I've got to take time to get alone with my Father and pray and re-energize my spirit. Can you say amen? I believe Jesus was dealing with the stress of what had gone on in the recent hours, in the recent days. But he knew where his answer and his strength lied. He said, you know what? I've got to... and take a break. Are y'all with me this morning? Christ took time to get alone to talk with the Father in the midst of his ministry. Number one, again, acknowledge where you're at and bring it to the Lord. Number two, take a break. Verse 31, and he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place, a solitary place. You've got to get away from the situation. You've got to get away from the circumstance. You've got to draw back just a little bit. Again, Jesus set the example. And when he sent them away, he departed. Verse 46 and verse 47. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. Sometimes we need a change of scenery. We need to get alone and spend time with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to get alone and spend some time in the Word and in worship and in prayer, or just do something you really enjoy doing. One of the examples that I found yesterday was this. Every now and then, go away. This individual, I want you to listen to what this individual says. Every now and then, go away. Have a little relaxation. For when you come back to your work, your judgment will be sure. Since to remain constantly at work will cause you to lose power of judgment. Go some distance away, because then the work appears smaller and more of it can be taken in at a glance. And lack of harmony and proportion is made more readily seen. These are the words of Leonardo da Vinci, and no idler was he at all. He excelled as a painter, as a sculptor, as a poet, as an architect, as an engineer, as a city planner, as a scientist, as an inventor, as an automatist, as a military genius, and as a philosopher. And Leonardo says, sometimes you've got to back up and get alone. Can I tell you, Jesus said it best. Sometimes you've got to come apart and rest for a while. What was Jesus' solution? Number three was rest. Verse 31. And he said, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest for a while. Say rest. The word rest literally means refresh, take ease, to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect strength. Another illustration. According to the Greek legend, in ancient Athens, a man noticed the great story Aesop playing childish game, the storyteller Aesop playing childish game with some little boys. He laughed and jeered at Aesop, asking him why he wasted his time on such frivolous activity. Aesop responded by picking up a bow, loosening its string, taking it off and removing the tension from the bow, and placing it on the ground. Then he said to the critical Athenian, now answer the riddle if you can tell. Tell us what the unstrung bow applies. The man looked at it for several moments but had no idea what point Aesop was trying to make to him. Aesop explained, if you keep a bow always bent, it will eventually break. But if you take the tension off the bow, if you release the tension from the string and the bow, it will be more fit for use when you want it to be. People are also like that. That's why we need to take time to rest. In today's scripture, Jesus prescribed time off for his weary disciples after they had returned from a prolonged period of ministry. And in the Old Testament, God set a pattern for us when he rested from all his work. Shouldn't we take his example seriously? Start by setting aside a special time to relax physically and renew yourself emotionally and spiritually. You will be at your best for the Lord if you have taken time to loosen the bow. Take time to rest. Say rest. What did Jesus said he would do for us if we're tired and weary and we come to him? He said, and you will find what? Rest. Sometimes we need rest. Oh, I like this fourth one. How do we handle stress? Take time to enjoy a good meal. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while, for there were many coming and going and they did not even have time to eat. Notice I said a good meal, a nutritious meal. One of the biggest things that are hindering, we are so busy and we are so on a rush today in our busy, busy, hurry, hurry up society. We run by someplace and get some what? Fast food. And it's doing what to our society? It's killing us. Well, we're taking in nourishment, but it's not good nourishment. Now, it tastes good. If it didn't, we wouldn't be stopping by. Hello. Hey. My grandson said, "Big Daddy, you like a McFlurry?" I said, "I love a McFlurry. Don't bring me one. I don't need it." Amen. But the disciples, he said, "Guys, you got to come by and rest for a while. Because we've got to deal with the physical man. We've got to take in some good nourishment." Nourishment, good nourishment strengthens our mind. It strengthens our spirit. It strengthens our physical body. Can you say amen? And as you're taking in good nourishment, many times if you're with people that you enjoy being around, there's a good time of what? Fellowship. The Bible says they continued in the book of Acts, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread and in fellowship from house to house. Can you say amen? How do we handle stress? Take time to enjoy a good meal. That's with fellowship. Number five, we don't like this word, exercise. Good way to handle stress. How did the disciples get around? They walked. How did they go across the sea from one side to the other? They rowed. Row, row, row your boat. They didn't have a problem finding exercise. Exercise helps us to handle stress. It gets the blood flowing. Even just a good walk gives us fresh oxygen within and helps us to release tension. Are you still with me today? Number six, how do we handle stress? Get some help. So many times we try to do and deal with things on our own. We brought it to the Lord. We're doing all this other stuff, but there's something when you can find a good brother, a good sister that you can share your heart with and just be honest with and have them pray with you and pray for you. Can you say amen? Notice something. How did Jesus, when he sent his disciples, how did he send them out? Two. They had a built-in support system. How do we know that? In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and he called 12. And he called 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. They had a built-in support system. They received help from one another, encouragement from one another, fellowship from one another. There's power and there's strength in fellowship. So many times there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes, and we're going to read it in just a second, that we use for marriage. But friends, it's great in fellowship, especially in you and I being part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, to strengthen one another. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning of verse 9 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. And if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Sometimes you and I can fall under the load of stress that we're dealing with, but if we've got somebody that's close to us, if we've got somebody we can share with, if we got somebody we can knowingly share our hearts and that will pray for us and with us, they will reach down when we have fallen under the load of stress and help pick us up, can you say amen, and take us right to the throne room of God, can you say amen? It makes a difference. There's strength in numbers. Share with what you're dealing with someone who will pray for you and for you. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." You say, "Well, Brother Dawes, if I'm stressed out, how can that be a trespass?" Because let me tell you, stress can affect you emotionally, it can affect you mentally, and it will affect you spiritually. And if you stayed under that constant weight of that stress, I love Pastor. It is simply an indication that you're putting more faith in your ability to handle something than in the faith that you need to be putting in the Lord to help you handle it. But if you'll confess, you know what? A brother or sister in the Lord, man, I've let that get a hold of my life way more than what it should. Would you help me pray to get this thing back in balance? Would you pray for me? Would you pray with me? There is something that happens when a brother or sister comes alongside and begins to pray for you, or when many brothers or sisters come alongside and pray for you. One will put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000 to flight. And again, that threefold cord is not easily broken. There is a strength that happens when you join arm in arm, heart to heart, prayer to prayer, praying for one another. That's what we were talking about a couple of Wednesday nights ago. Praying for one another, encouraging one another, building one another up. Can you say amen? As we handle our times of stress biblically, as we acknowledge it and bring it to the Lord, as we take a break, as we get some rest, as we take in some good nourishment, as we take time to exercise, as take time to get some help, you'll notice as you go back into the situation, it may not have changed. The situation or the circumstance may not have changed, but your attitude and your outlook may have changed, giving you the ability to handle it a whole lot better with God's help and guidance. I want to go back and read one more scripture. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. As I was preparing the list, the Lord said, you need to tell them what that looks like. I said, what do you mean? Coming to him, bring those things to him. I said, Lord, what do you mean? How can I tell them what it looks like? He said, because that's what you've had to do. What does that look like to bring our cares to the Lord? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. First thing, you've got to humble yourself before the Lord. The problem is so many times, and it happens in an altar call about every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, in churches all across this land. People are too proud and too humble to seek the Lord for help. And they walk out the door with the same junk they came in with. And the Lord's heart is grieved. He's saying, I want to do something. I want to help. I'm able to help. I can turn that around. But we just soon go home carrying the same load that we came in with. God says, why? What does that look like? Number one, you've got to say, Lord, I've allowed this to have a foothold in my life. And I've allowed this to stress me out way more than it should. And God, I've tried to deal with it the best way I can. But Father, it's just not working. And I need your help. Friend, I want to tell you, that's the first step. And you make it to the first step with the heart of sincerity, you better look out, because help's coming your way. Amen. Second step is this. God, I've tried my best. But Lord, I take all my efforts, and I take all my cares, and I take all that stress, and I take the very root cause of that stress, and Lord, I lay it upon your altar. Lord, I give it unto you. I'm casting it all on you, Lord, because I can't deal with it anymore in my own strength. That's what the Word tells us to do. But when we've done that and we've truly laid it all on the altar, guess what? You're there at the point where God comes and takes over. Why? Because he cares for you. He will come and lift the load. He will come and bring his peace that passes all understanding. He will place his guard over your heart and your mind. And all of a sudden, you will feel the peace that passes all understanding. And that stress just simply lift. I have been in prayer with individuals that have sincerely prayed that prayer. The peace of God is tangible. You can feel it. I'm going to say that again. The peace of God is tangible. You can feel it. You may not can see it with your eye, but you can feel it in your spirit and in your physical body. When God's peace, and there ain't a pill, there ain't a drink on this earth, there ain't nothing that any doctor can prescribe to you except Dr. Jesus. But when it comes, it's there. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. when we simply turn it over to Him. And it is amazing. Situations that I've tried to work on and tried to fix, when I turned it over to Him, all of a sudden something's changed. Not so much in the situation, the circumstance, something changed in me. My outlook, my understanding. I'm able to deal with it a whole lot better. Next thing you know, there's an answer that comes. Why didn't I see that before? Why didn't you see it before? Because you're too stressed out. But if we'll bring it to the Lord, if we'll lay it at His feet, He will lift the load. He will lift the cares. His peace will come, and He will give you strength to walk through it. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in your weakness." Can I tell you this morning, there's a peace of God that's available to you. He wants to relieve your stress. I said it a few moments ago. If you'll bring Him your stressed out situations today, you will have a better tomorrow and beyond. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we sang a song at the time of prayer. This is your house. It's a house of prayer where your people can bring your worries and our cares. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that we will humble ourselves today. I pray that we will humble ourselves today. And then we will truly bring those things that are causing stress.